Soundstripe.
Hello, you guys. Welcome back to That's Relatable. My name is Brooke, and this is a faith-based podcast where I like to sit down and just try to, I don't know, just talk about things that are difficult in life, challenges we face, things we go through. Just, I don't know, the goal is to bring some encouragement back into the world and, you know, just try to address common struggles that we all deal with in hopes of bringing some encouragement. So thanks for hanging out with me. I am really actually super excited to talk about this topic today. It's a topic that I think is so prevalent right now in society in general. And it's this topic of being overstimulated. The more I get into my Bible studies and the more I sit and like try to really think about what I personally struggle with, the more I just realize like your mindset genuinely affects like every aspect of your life. Like it's just, I don't know, more and more I'm just becoming aware of like how much your mind can affect not only like your day-to-day attitude and your relationships and how you treat others, but it can genuinely start to affect your overall health and the way that your body responds like in a physiological way. And so I think it's really important that we have to address these things that we deal with so that we can, you know, get a handle on whatever kind of complications we're going through. And so I think this thing of this topic, I guess, of being overstimulated is like a topic that's long overdue for having some, I don't know, discussion about. So I know personally speaking, you can even ask my husband, I'm constantly feeling like, oh, I'm overstimulated. I say that all the time. And to be fair, I think it's kind of like a trendy thing right now. Everyone's like, oh, whatever. That's just like the buzzword that people use sometimes. But it's a real freaking thing. And like I said, it's something that I struggle with. I know it's something that several people I know, several of my friends struggle with, whether that's just like friends in general, family members, even some of my students I hear talk about this. And so I know that it's something that a lot of us kind of deal with. And so my first thing that I really want to do is just go through and address like, what does it mean to even be overstimulated? And I did a quick little ChatGPT thing just for a quick definition. And basically, long story short, it's just a perception of too much happening at once, whatever that too much is, whether you're just like your body's literally taking in too much of your surroundings, whether it's like what you're seeing, what you're hearing, the noise is loud, things are going on around you. Like that is for sure one way that you can be overstimulated. And I do think that's a real thing. But what I really think is the biggest issue right now is not necessarily what our like senses are actually taking in, but it's more so what our mind is taking in is what we're evaluating from a fearful standpoint, from a scared standpoint, where we're overanalyzing everything. And so, for example, I know my biggest thing, I guess, that makes me overstimulated is a to-do list. It's like the more that I put on my to-do list, the more I just like am stuck in like this analysis paralysis state where it's just like, oh my gosh, I'm so overwhelmed. I'm just procrastinating because I can't function with so much on my plate. And I think this is a really common thing, whether you're a parent or a college student, or maybe even a high school student, or if you're just working a job, like this is so prevalent in society. And I really am like starting to become aware that this is actually like a spiritual warfare that we're kind of seeing in real time. And so let me just kind of backtrack and kind of tie this all in. The more I do these podcasts and the more I really think about the struggles of society in general, the more it's just like smacking me in the face, Ephesians 6, 10 through 13. And what that passage talks about is how we are in not a physical war, but a spiritual one. Specifically, Ephesians 6, 12, it says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places." And so long story short, we're not fighting like a physical war, obviously, right? Like I'm sitting on my couch right now. I'm not in battle of any sort. But our minds are constantly being attacked and being just in a spiritual battle. And not only our minds, but our heart postures too. And like I said, the more that I like talk about and just kind of think about and dive into these societal problems, it's just like becoming so wildly clear to me that every aspect of our lives can sometimes, not sometimes, but like almost all the time, point to the fact that we are dead center in a spiritual warfare. And the scariest part is like so many times we don't even realize it. And so when we're talking about being overstimulated in specific or in particular, just like thinking about like my physical reaction to being overstimulated, like it either makes me completely unable to sit still. Like I've got to occupy myself. I've got to be up and moving. I've got to be cleaning everything. You can ask Mike. I just like, I can't sit still. He yells at me, wants me to sit down and like take a break. I physically am unable to do it because it makes me like crawl in my skin. Or the total opposite can happen where I'm so like just frozen. Again, that analysis paralysis where I just like, I can't even literally get myself to function and move, right? It can affect our ability to concentrate. It can just create that desire for us to check out. Hello, can we like acknowledge the fact that scrolling and doom scrolling is such a real thing? Like I've even had a conversation with students before at work, just like, you know, I've asked them like, what's your guys' time or screen time? Like you're always on your phones. You're trying to be on your phones. Just be honest with me. What's your screen time? You guys, my heart broke a little bit. It was anywhere from like 8 to like 14 hours a day these kids are spending on their phones. And they even openly in this discussion, it was very lighthearted. It wasn't like a condemning kind of shame on you kind of thing. I was just genuinely trying to pick their brains. And they had even said like, sometimes it's just so I can check out. Like I doom scroll because I'm so overwhelmed sometimes. And like, dude, truth be told, me too. And so that's another thing that you can notice with being overstimulated. You desire that checkout kind of method to happen. Like you just want to avoid it. Like long story short, we're just being avoidant, right? We increase our procrastination. We just have an unsettled spirit. We're just anxious. We're flustered. We're easily irritable, right? So all of these things start to kind of pile on us. And in the grand scheme of things, what's happening is a spiritual warfare. Like we're being attacked at that point, right? We are actually becoming attacked with like a panic tactic, right? Like we're being like, I genuinely feel like Satan is attacking us with this spiritual panic tactic where he wants us frozen so that we cannot function, is basically what it boils down to. And so those may be the physical aspects of what we do, but like internally, I think what happens is like, we just adopt this idea of like, this is too much for us to handle. We can't do this. Like we take on this victimizing mindset where it's like, we don't even want to be the victim. Sometimes people lay the card as the easy way out, but like in those experiences, you genuinely just feel like you don't have the abilities to tap into anything because you're just so wildly overwhelmed, right? And so then we experience these feelings of being, again, irritable or just like exhausted, right? If you look at people with depression or you look at any sort of studies or research about people with depression, like one of the biggest coping mechanisms is sleeping, right? It's just like this literal physical feeling of being exhausted. And that is not like normal, right? That is a spiritual attack as well. We can become discouraged, hopeless. And then again, we can fall into the anxiety and depression kind of thing too. Long story short, if you look at those emotions and what if you go through step by step the process of what's actually happening internally, like that's a breeding ground for separation from Christ, right? That's a breeding ground of us just panicking and feeling anxious and just not relying on him. We try to take matters into our own hands, and we realize that we're not capable. And then instead of tapping into the fact that we serve a God who is capable, we put that all on our chest, all on our shoulders, all on our plate, and we freak out, right? I think the biggest issue with being overstimulated is just that. Like we forget that it isn't our job to handle it all and to figure it all out. It's just not, right? When we become so overstimulated and wrapped up into what our to-do list is or whatever we have going on, like that's in a way just like telling God that we don't trust him, right? Like we're not fully surrendering to the idea that he's sovereign. Like he's going to make a way. He literally is the creator of time. He's literally the one who's able to, what an insult, right? He spoke like the oceans into existence, like things that just don't even like, they're so big and so wild. It's difficult for us to even comprehend. Like he did that. So what is a to-do list to him, right? Now to us, it's the whole world. Like it's to us, it's like, if I don't get this done, oh my gosh, I'm just never going to make it. And everything's going to keep going and nothing's going to get done. And blah, 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 right? But like to him, it's nothing, right? But we forget that he is the outlet for us, that we can rely on him and go to him and surrender it all to him. And instead we assume his role. Like we try to assume the sovereign position. And in doing that, we undermine his hand on our lives. And the sad part and the sneaky part about it all is, like I said, it's like we don't even realize that all of this is happening, right? It's almost like it's just a chain reaction. Like it just a physiological, just psychological reaction of, oh my gosh, I'm panicking, blah, 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 blah. And it just spirals. And we automatically fall into this mindset and into this heart posture of just not trusting that God is truly in control and that he is working for our good, right? And so I guess, again, the big picture is that Satan wants you overstimulated. Like that's point blank. That's the goal. That's what he's trying to get done, right? And so the more he can keep you overstimulated and overwhelmed and frozen and discouraged and hopeless, the more avoidant you're going to be. Okay, now this thing about being avoidant, man, it can spiral. It can go in every direction in your life, truly. So one piece of scripture I really like is 1 Peter 5:8. It says, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a lion or like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Okay, and so there's two different ways we can look through this or two different lenses we can look through. Okay, first, we can look at this as like being sober-minded, like legitimately being sober, like drugs, alcohol, whatever. That's one way. And I do think that's probably a way that is meant to be interpreted. But we can also look at it in terms of like the trance that we almost go into when we are so overstimulated. It's like your blinders come on. It's like, I don't know if this is something you guys have experienced or if this makes sense, but it's almost just like you're not fully tapped into the present reality of life that's going on around you because you're so, your mind is so consumed in everything else that you have to do that you can't actually enjoy the present moment. And in my perception, in my opinion, that is not being sober-minded, right? To be sober-minded means to be in the present moment, living right here, right now, what's going on right now, not worrying about future, the future things, right? Not having fear of the future, but living in the moment that you're in and trusting God with your future, right? And so again, being sober-minded has a little bit of flexibility or leeway, I guess, in what that could possibly mean. Okay. Now in terms of the enemy, right, prowling around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour, again, we can look at that from two different standpoints. Like we could look at a legitimate hunting lion, right? Like think about it. Any sort of predator, when it is looking to attack or like to whatever, go after its prey, when does it do it? Like when is the best time for a predator to make a move on his prey? When he's isolated, right? When he's by himself or when it's by itself. And that is the same tactic that Satan will use against us, right? So in becoming avoidant and separated and isolated from reality and what's really going on in the present moment, he's isolating you as a predator would for his prey, right? And so the whole purpose of you becoming overstimulated in Satan's perception is to get you to be vulnerable and to get you alone, right? And it takes a lot of self-consciousness, I think that's the word I want, it takes a lot of self-awareness maybe to realize that all of this is playing against you when it's happening against you, right? So again, it's almost like you fall into that trance of just being so overwhelmed that you can't totally recognize what might be going on around you and what's the reasoning for all of the emotions that you're being infiltrated with, right? And so we have to be able to identify the panic points when we start falling into those overstimulated, panicky, anxiety-ridden, just analysis paralysis times. Because when we can acknowledge what's happening, we can put a stop to it, right? We can ask for protection, start praying against it. We can realize that, oh, well, this is part of the spiritual warfare that Ephesians is talking about. Another thing that I think, aside from just being isolated and vulnerable, another thing that I think can happen is like being overstimulated can attack your relationships around you, right? So think of you, or think if you're a parent, right? And you're super overstimulated and you're super just overwhelmed and you're panicking and whatnot. What does that look like in regards to your family around you, right? Like, I may be physically present sitting in the living room with you, but if I've got 5,000 things on my mind, I'm not mentally there. And so, sure, I'm in the room with my husband and kids, but am I being present with them? Like, am I genuinely spending time with them? No, right? Like, that's obviously not going to be the case when I'm so consumed in what else is going on. It can really start to affect your relationships around you where you're not being present for your family or for whoever your friends or whoever you are loyal to, right? You're starting to be so consumed by your own to-do list that it's taking away from the relationships around you that are so important to have, right? The godly relationships that you're supposed to have. Everything, if the more that you look at this topic, like everything points back to Satan. Everything points back to a spiritual warfare and an attack. Again, John 10:10, it says, the thief only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And that says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the fullest. And that's, again, John 10:10 when Jesus is speaking. We can't fall for the attacks that are happening against us. And it's so common. And again, to be overstimulated is like such a trendy word right now, I feel like, that so many people experience these emotions and they don't even realize the underlying issue, which is a spiritual warfare, which you are genuinely being attacked at that point, right? And so we have to be able to, again, just identify what's happening so that we just don't fall for those attacks. So I think if we can realize what's going on around us, the next step then is to, I guess, defeat it. And how do we approach it when we realize that it is happening? Okay. So I wrote down 5 little steps. Okay. The first one is prayer. Prayer is huge. That's like, when in doubt, pray, right? I think sometimes we forget that we can pray in these situations because we are undermining the fact that we're overwhelmed. If you're like me, I don't know what it is. I'm stubborn is probably what it boils down to, but I have a very, very difficult time asking for help when I need it. Even Mike will tell you, like, I'll be throwing a whole fit, just stomping around the house and being as loud as I can, trying to clean dishes and stuff. And it's childish and stupid, but I know some of you guys get it. But like, I can't humble myself enough sometimes to ask for help, which is embarrassing and it's not right. I'm not saying that's a good tactic and I'm not saying whatever, you should do that. But I just know that's a personal struggle of mine. And so if I have things around the house that I need done and Mike is sitting on the couch and I'm trying to get things done, I start just being as loud as I can, washing dishes, tossing things around, making a ruckus, like, you know, and so he gets the point like, okay, what is wrong with you? Oh, glad you asked. I need some freaking help. Like, and I, again, not a good thing, but like, that's my default way of getting help when I need it. And so I think sometimes we take that same approach when it comes to prayer. Like, I don't want to burden God with these stupid little petty things that I'm dealing with. Like, oh, I just need to get over it. Like, that's a lot of the mindsets that some of us have. And in reality, God wants us to ask for help. Like, we forget that he's our father. Like, he is loving. He wants us to go to him. He wants to comfort us. He wants our burdens, right? He's never asking us to do anything on our own. And so I think it actually really glorifies him when we do come to him with even the littlest things. Like, that is pleasing to him. He's so happy when we can go to him with any little thing that's on our mind, and that he can bring us the peace and we can rely on him. And like, that's what he wants, right? And so just to be able to pray and say, hey, like, I need help in this moment. I'm feeling overstimulated. I'm feeling overwhelmed. I don't know how to approach my day because of my to-do list or my workload at work, or maybe even my assignments or whatever it is. I just need your help, and I just need your hand, right? Just something super basic to acknowledge him and just take it to his feet, right? What a weight off of your chest that is when you say that prayer too. I think we undermine that importance so much of just being able to go to him in prayer and just be vulnerable, even with what we think might be little, stupid, and petty. Like, it's important for him to know. Okay. Another thing. So the second thing I wrote down is self-talk. Just remind yourself what you're against. Remind yourself what's coming up against you, rather. Like, it is a tactful, purposeful thing that you're experiencing when you're experiencing being overstimulated. It is a genuine attack against you. And I feel like being able to identify that and to remind yourself of that is enough to make you a little more resilient and give you a little more grit of, no, I refuse to let this happen. I'm going to God immediately and we're going to tackle this. Okay. So that's the second thing. The third thing is, to just remind yourself again, not necessarily about you being able to do it, but just remembering that God is sovereign. So what that means is he has everything in control under his hand, regardless of if you finish your to-do list today or not. Right? He is the one who is in control. His hand is on your life. There is nothing you can do that will take more control over your life than what he has. Number four was leave it at the feet of Jesus and trust that he wants to help you, right? He wants to be there. He wants to complete things for you. He wants to be on your side. Leave it at the feet of Jesus and trust that he's going to be the one who helps you conquer it and take care of whatever stuff you're dealing with. And then the fifth thing, and honestly, I think maybe the most important thing, is just remind yourself that you don't have to work so hard. We are in such a generation of work, 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 grind it out, don't sleep, sleep when you're dead, whatever. Like, we are in such a go, go, go society and mentality that it actually, I think, sometimes is dishonoring to God, because we, again, assume the role of being sovereign. We think that our success is fully based off of what we can and can't do, what we are able to complete in a day and what we can't. And I think we're really missing the mark there. And I know you can watch like any sort of like sports documentary or interviews of some sort, whatever. And it's a very like honorable, great thing, apparently, to just work, 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 work. But again, I think that undermines the truth that God is in control and that our success comes strictly from him, and that it's because of his glory and his goodness that we are able to do anything that receives any sort of success. It's never our own, but it's always through him. And so I think when we take on this idea of go, 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 work, 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 like, we are trying to assume the glory. And so, yeah, I don't know. Like, we don't have to work so hard. He wants to give us rest. Matthew 11:28 says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, I will give you rest, right? He wants to give us that rest and that opportunity to recoup and not just go, go, go. And so I think that's really important to remind ourselves, give yourself a break, let yourself breathe. Don't worry about finishing the to-do list today. Let the list be long. You're going to be okay. It's not the end of the world. What happens if you don't finish the laundry and the dishes and sweep in one day? Right? Guess what? You're going to go to bed and you're going to wake up tomorrow. And what a blessing that is. Right? And so I think a lot of times we also just have to remember that it's like a shift in your perspective. We have to purposely look at what's at hand, and we have to be careful and understanding that regardless of what doesn't get finished in the day, like, what's going to get finished in the day is what God wants us to get finished in the day. And the rest of that, whatever's left over, can't consume us. I don't know, guys. Like I said, I experienced this. I deal with this. I'm not great at handling it in the moment. I think sometimes it takes me a second to realize what's going on. But I do think being able to realize that it's a spiritual attack is something that's been really beneficial for me personally. Just to make it stop at that exact moment that I realize what's going on, and realize that those feelings of being overstimulated, they don't have authority over me. And that's something that we can remind ourselves of at any given point, that we do not have a spirit of timidness. God did not give us a spirit of timidness or fear or anxiety. And so those feelings do not have any sort of authority over us. So last thing I want to mention is just a quick little verse, Philippians 4:7. Okay, it says, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And so logically speaking, sometimes it's hard for me to wrap my mind around that verse because it says the peace of God will transcend all understanding. Okay, well, when I'm feeling overstimulated, I'm not feeling any peace. Okay, I've got a long list of things to do. Guess what? Me praying about it isn't going to take away the things on my to-do list, right? And so that's something that I personally struggle with sometimes. Yet in that same breath, I have experienced that peace of God when I genuinely take it all to Him and I lay it at His feet and I say, "This is what I'm dealing with. Please help me." Something in that moment, and it genuinely is the Holy Spirit that will come through and give you that peace, which transcends all understanding. And that's the point, right? Like, it doesn't have to make sense. We don't have to make sense of everything that comes our way. And that's another thing that I think we struggle with, is just like, we are the generation of just over-consuming knowledge, right? And so we know we have to know everything about everything. And sometimes God just sits there and He tells us, you don't actually have to understand. As long as I understand, because I'm God, you don't need to worry about it. And so I think that's kind of what this verse is referencing. Like, it transcends all understanding. His peace will transcend all understanding. So regardless of what you're planning to do, regardless of what's on your work list or your homework list or whatever, we can still take that to Him and He will still give us that peace that only He can give. Never underestimate or undermine the effectiveness and the relief that you get from just leaning on God and allowing Him to carry your obligations. Give yourself a break. You're not God. You're not a superhero. You're not going to have everything taken care of on your own accord and with your own might. And honestly, what a relief that is. What a relief that we don't have to do it all on our own, right? So truly, if we can change our perspective to having that kind of outlook, I think it'll be really beneficial for us. So I hope this was a good one. Like I said, this was one that I was really excited to talk about. It was something that I think is very prevalent and something that I think a lot of us deal with. So I just hope that you guys found some encouragement with this. And if you did, I would love to hear your feedback on it. And maybe you could even share this with a friend who might be dealing with these same sort of feelings. So thanks so much for hanging out with me, you guys. It's late. It's time to go to bed. And so I'm going to head on out of here. I love you guys to pieces, and we will do this another time. All right, see you guys.